So we've seen that Joseph represents the celestial of the spiritual, or the good that flows from a higher level of truth, that being what's termed truth from the divine, into the natural mind as the word looks to regenerate it, and by that bring it into a correspondence with what is higher, so that the higher can be present in the lower, and that the celestial of the spiritual represented by Joseph first works with the known facts that exist within the mind, and it organizes these into a form that can receive higher things, or those spiritual principles that govern the processes related to the regeneration of the human mind. We also spoke about the fact that what's represented in Joseph coming down into Egypt and the subsequent events and the unfolding of things to the point where he becomes the ruler effectively over Egypt is a largely unconscious process. It's the Lord working within the mind as goodness. And for us, that manifests in a way in which we feel motivated to engage with the text. But engaging with the text at the level of the literal story, the literal sense. And through that process, what gets stored up are what were called remains. And the store of remains is represented by the grain being gathered into granaries in order to have something available in a time of famine or drought, or if we go to the Hebrew word for famine, a time of hunger. And of course, that's going to be spiritually a spiritual hunger or a desire for what is good and what is true. Now, the early stages of spiritual life, a lot of satisfaction is gained from just being at the level of the letter of the word. I mean, there is a beauty about the story and affectional quality about these stories that really does touch the heart. And for those of us who have been exposed to these stories from a younger age, they have this quality of evoking from a storehouse a sense of connection with the word, and you know, which is manifested in a love for what's here. But on a larger scale, in terms of the regeneration of the human mind, the love that inspires someone to go to the word and gather sustenance from the letter of the word, that is a time of ingathering. It's a time of the building of knowledge, and the presence of the celestial, of the spiritual, at that level of life is what organizes that knowledge into a form whereby it can serve as a vessel for higher things. Now, as we grow and develop in terms of our understanding, we begin to be exposed to higher principles. Those principles initially would be codified in the Ten Commandments, for example, or the Great Commandment, the Golden Rule, things like that. They become the basis for our civil and moral life, but they also form vessels for higher spiritual insights, which are needed so that we can transition from being more externally focused so far as a moral and civil life goes and become genuinely spiritually focused, which is a capacity to reflect on the quality of our states of mind. So it's a common response to what's termed here a famine, or from a psychological perspective, what we're really talking about here is a feeling of lack and a hunger for meaning, or a hunger for what is good and true, so that we can have a fuller sense of meaning in our lives. And because going to the word at the level of its letter and engaging with the stories in that early period of life has been so satisfying, our first response when this shift begins to occur and a hunger is felt is to go to what is tried and true. And because the engagement with the factual aspects of the word, or what's technically called the scientifics of the word, because that had been so satisfying, it is only natural that when we feel a hunger, that we then begin to go to the word in a way whereby we were satisfied previously with the expectation that that hunger would be filled. And we see that aspect of the process described in 5397 at the start of this chapter. It says in 5397, "Dealt with first is the attempt to gain possession of these truths through the facts known to the church, which are Egypt, and to do so without an intermediary, which is Benjamin, along with truth from the divine, which is Joseph." And then it states, "But this was a failure, and therefore they were returned to where they came from, together with a measure of the good of natural truth freely given." So the point here is that in order for the celestial of the spiritual to be adjoined to the truths of faith which are known to the church, Benjamin has to be present. Without what's represented by Benjamin, we simply return to that state from which we have come. So this investigation into the factual aspects of the word as a means of satisfying a deep-set spiritual hunger, or a hunger for meaning, if you like, it is not enough to just be engaged with the surface things of the word. We have to penetrate deeper. And hunger, in this sense, is the prime motivator which pushes us on in order to discover, or have unfolded to us, is probably a better way of putting it, those deeper things. And of course, while it is described as a failure in the text, it is part of the process that we first have to come to see that our own capacity to gather and sort memory knowledges will not and cannot be a substitute for an acknowledgement that the divine alone is what is able to meet that deep hunger that engaging with the word and the processes involved in the regeneration of the human mind creates.